Good evening. Nice to see you. Are there any dummies in the house? Me too. Let's keep things simple, eh? I'd like to speak to you tonight, start a new series that's just going to look at some very basic things. This is one, it's called How to Stay Happy. Does that sound basic enough? It's very important being happy. In fact, it's one of the most basic desires of a human being. The longing for happiness is deep in all of us. And actually, I'm going to show you tonight, practically, how you can get happy and stay happy. Does that sound good? It's worth the money that you've paid to come on this course. And this is a special class, but first we'll take the register. Is Arthur Blockett in? Did anyone like school? Oh, I absolutely hated school when I was a kid. And I thought I'd tell you a little some school stories from my life on these Sunday nights. Are you up for a bit of that? I went to school in Billingham. Of course, they just invented schools in Billingham. It was the 70s. And I absolutely hated it. You know, you start early in this country, Carl. We're like 4 and 5 years old. And I just couldn't stand it. I just wanted to be home all the time. I used to cry my eyes out when my mum left. But I've done Route 61, so it's okay. I've forgiven them all. But and I remember one occasion, I was only very young. I can't remember how young. Must have been 5, maybe 6, but probably 5. And I got in trouble on a lunch time. Can you believe that? Someone like me getting in trouble. And the dinner nanny said, right, I want you to stand there by the headmaster's office. And I was really scared. I thought, and I stood there next to the headmaster's office for a little while, and I thought, I'm not going to stay for very long. I'm going to leg it. So I actually went home. I ran out of the school building, down the path. Some little girls were playing at the gate. You know, little girls. Hey, you're not allowed to go out the gate. Hoof! And I was across the road, down the road, across the road, down the road, across the road, down the road. I ran all the way home. This memory is vivid. I remember running round the back of our house, and my mum was hanging, washing out. And she said, oh, you're home early? And I said, I've run out of school. She took me straight back, drove me straight back to school, said, get out and don't do it again. Clout. This was the 70s. And whatever she did. I went back into school. I opened the gate. Some little girls at the gate. Where have you been? Hoof. And ran back. I thought, I better go back. And I went and stood next to the headmaster's office again. And this teacher who put me there walked past and went, oh, are you still there? I forgot about you. Sorry. Oh, go on. You're not in trouble anymore. Yeah. Come on. See what God likes you. See what can happen. Anyway. Got nothing to do with anything that. I just thought I'd tell it because I like talking about me. But anyway, should we talk about Jesus instead? Yeah, it's better. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're our wonderful teacher. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts tonight, to set us free by the truth of the Word of God and to transform us so we can be like Jesus. Holy Spirit, we willingly open our hearts to you now. Come and speak to us and change us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Being happy is the basic desire of the human being. And you will search all your life for happiness, whether you're a Christian or any religion or no religion or what. That's because actually God created men to be happy. God created man to be satisfied and content and at peace and blessed and without need. And just totally buzzing all the time. Isn't God good? That's how God created man. And our first parents, Adam and Eve, lived in supreme happiness. They never woke up sad. They never went to bed anxious. They lived in total joy every moment of every day. Why? Because they were in perfect harmony with God. They were receiving the smile, the blessings, the peace of God in their life every single day until they sinned. When they sinned, they chose independence from God. They chose to the knowledge of evil. Oh, I want to know. I want to experience it. I want to touch it, see it, taste it. I want to know. I want the knowledge of evil. And when they disobeyed God, they brought havoc into all of our lives. Man fell from his place of happiness to a place of desperation. Sin is the root of unhappiness. You say, oh, what's this got to do with me? Oh, everything. Everything. Every tear you've ever shed, every sorrow in your life, every problem, every hurt, every physical illness, everyone you've ever buried has its origin in that one sin that our first parents committed. The problem of unhappiness is the problem of sin. Unhappiness is broken relationship with God. That's why Jesus can put it right. Just turn to the person next to you and say, thank goodness for that. Jesus can make us happy forever. He can make you happy tonight and keep you happy every day of your life from here to eternity, literally. How does he do it? Let me show you. For you to be happy and stay happy, firstly, you have to deal. Have you noticed Stuart's on here again? Is it every week you see his face up here? I thought we were trying to grow the church. Anyway, you must deal with your past. In other words, to be happy, you must experience personal forgiveness and you must be born again. You must start life again and be recreated through the gift of God. You must do that or you'll never be happy. You must have your past dealt with, completely dealt with. Let me read to you what the Bible says. It says, blessed are they, and this, the word blessed in the Bible is a Greek word. We get the English word happy from that word. When you read the word blessed in the Bible, it means happy. Happy are they whose sins are forgiven. Yes. Happy is the one whose sins are covered. Happy is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. You, brother, sister, you must be forgiven for your sins. And you must know it and experience it in reality. Not just, I'm sorry for my sins. That's not enough. You must experience the love of Jesus, cleansing and forgiving you from that sin so that you're not guilty anymore. Don't deny your sin. Don't pretend you're nice. That's the wrong way to go. Don't you want the bin man to come and take away your rubbish? Or do you want to live with your rubbish? You don't want to live with your rubbish. We have had a big family. We had 9 kids. That's why I look like this. I'm only 27. No. We've had 9 kids. And let me tell you something. When all our kids were little at Christmas, and we had all our relatives around as well. I don't know how we did it. We had a lot of rubbish. Rubbish. I remember one year, this was before the age of wheelie bins. Thank goodness, I don't think you get one big enough. We would have needed a biffa bin at our place. But before the age of wheelie bins, I remember one. I mean, I was embarrassed about it. We had, I counted, 37 full black bin bags. One week for the bin men. I piled them up like Mount Everest around the lamppost. I used to think the neighbours used to be looking at those ruddicks, they're like rabbits. And, you know, I used to be ashamed. In fact, sometimes, can I confess some sin now? Is that all right? Sometimes, when it was dark, I used to take some bags and drop them off at their house as well. You know, little Christmas presents for them. Like the Grinch, you know. Oh, look, there's that nice Christian man. He must be taking a gift to number 37. Merry Christmas. It's true. But we had 37 bin bags, so do you know what? It's a lovely feeling when you lie in bed or you make a cup of tea and you hear that noise outside. Bang! It's the bin men. And you walk outside and you open the curtain and, ah, oh, it's all gone. It's all gone. It's a wonderful feeling to be forgiven, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful when Jesus takes away all your rubbish, all your guilt and shame and sin. You can deny it if you want. Oh, I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. That's called burying your rubbish in your back garden. Millions of people do that. That's why there's so much depression and illness in Europe. France and the UK are top for people being off work with stress and depression, and a whole lot of it is guilt. Guilt is a real thing. It's an emotional feeling connected to a fact. If you feel guilty, let me tell you why. Because you're guilty. There's something wrong. It's your conscience telling you, you must be forgiven. You are not right. You're not right with your husband. You are not right with your wife. You are not right with your children. You are not right with your family. You are sinning against the Lord. You are grieving the Lord. You are not right with yourself. And because of that, you feel ill. You're not right. It's a terrible thing, guilt. Jesus came and died on the cross so you can be completely forgiven for it. A Christian is a person who's been totally forgiven by Jesus Christ. You must have your past dealt with. You must have this happiness of waking up knowing every morning that I'm forgiven. I'm right with God through Jesus Christ. Not through my performance. Not through how good I've been yesterday, but because the blood of Jesus has been shed for you. And legally, God has written over your life, pardoned. Pardoned. That's what happens when a person is born again. When they come to Jesus, not just come into church, but you come to Jesus himself. And you experience new birth by putting your faith in him, trusting him. When that happens, you're a forgiven person. I remember this girl once telling me that she was on an Alpha course with a friend, and she was telling me how she got a friend to come on Alpha. She said the works do were going out for a night to the night to the downtown into a nightclub. She said, "Oh, I don't really want to go to a nightclub." And her dad said to her, "Oh, you haven't been out for ages. Just go." She said, "All right then." So she went out with the works mates, went to a couple of pubs, went to a nightclub. While she was dancing on the dance floor, this girl came up to her. She said, "Do you remember me from school?" She said, "Oh, yeah, I do." She said, "Oh," she's called Serafina, this girl. She said, "Serafina, there was always something about you. I never told you at school, but I always used to look at you and think, what is it you've got? What is the difference between you and me? What is it? What is it?" She said, "Well, I guess it's probably that I'm forgiven." She was a Christian, you see. And this girl stopped dancing. And in the middle of this nightclub, she said to her, "Can I be forgiven?" She said, "Yeah, you can." "How?" "Come on an Alpha course and get to know Jesus. Forgiveness is for everyone. Forgiveness is a reality. When you've been forgiven, it shows. You live life without guilt, without condemnation. You can through Jesus Christ. And you can put that right tonight if you're willing to. Jesus can totally forgive you tonight, cleanse you, and enable you to be very, very happy. Sometimes we think that we've done things that are too bad. "I've done terrible things. You don't understand. I've had an abortion. I've murdered someone." You can think of these things. I've met quite a few murderers in prison. And, you know, that very often there's like a deadness with them. You know, when you kill someone else, you kill yourself the same day. And often the terrible, sad stories, terrible. Often they'd killed their wives, drunk. Their wives, who they love, actually, they loved. Tragic, terrible. And they just live in a zombie life of death, these men. Because in rage and in anger, they've hit the wife and hit her too hard and killed her. It's terrible. They're in prison. Some of them for the rest of their life. And rightly so. But can they be forgiven? Do you know anyone can be forgiven anything? I was sat in the prison one day and I wasn't getting through to them. So I said, let me tell you a story about three murderers in the Bible. Suddenly had their attention. One was called David. One was called Moses. The other was called the Apostle Paul. All murderers who Jesus forgave. You can be forgiven for anything. And suddenly they were open to God. Whatever you've done. If I throw a little stone in a pool, it makes a little splash and ripples come out. That's my sin. Or for my sin, it might be a bigger rock than that. But you might think you've done the most horrendous thing ever. You don't know what I've done. My sin. I've destroyed my marriage. I've destroyed my life. I've destroyed my kids. You don't know what I've done. Listen, that's just a bigger rock. Throw it in the same pool so it makes a bigger splash. It makes a bigger mess. And there's a bit of a bigger ripples. But in the end, it's gone. Just like the little rock. That's the promise of God. I will bury their sins in the deepest sea. I will forgive them. I will remember them no more. That's the promise in the Bible about forgiveness. You can be forgiven. You must be forgiven. Every day, brothers and sisters, be cleansed, be sanctified, be forgiven. If you're a Christian in this room, keep being forgiven. I keep very short accounts with God. I want to be friends with the Holy Spirit, don't you? I want to live with God. I want to walk with God. You know, we had a fantastic time this morning in here. It was absolutely rocking. It was powerful. It was fantastic. They had an awesome international preacher on. I don't know who he was. It was absolutely phenomenal morning. It was brilliant. I preached. Holy Spirit really helped me. And several people said, well, that was an absolutely awesome word. I said, it was an awesome word. It was brilliant. You know, and I was going to get in the car and I shouted something to someone in the car park. Just stupid, really. Just stupid and having a bit of fun. But I've got a big mouth sometimes. I said something in the car park just having fun. And as I said it, I got in the car and my joy was gone. My peace was gone. Because what I said was stupid and cheeky and a little bit dishonouring, really. And the Holy Spirit, oh, I don't like that, Martin. So I went home, and before I got the baked potatoes out of the oven, I went upstairs and I got on my knees and I said, Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me preach this morning. I'm so sorry for grieving you. Please cleanse me. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I've got a big, stupid mouth and I get buzzing and excited and sometimes I can't control it. This mouth is meant to be your mouth, to speak your mighty words. Cleanse me in the blood of Jesus now. And I stood up, happy again. Happy again. At peace. Forgiven. I can't put my sins right, can you? You put your sins right? I do stupid things that have repercussions. I can't undo my own ball of wool that I've tangled up. I have to just take the tangle to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me, and he does. I just have to leave it with you. Redeem me, Jesus. Buy me out of the mess that I've got in. Isn't it wonderful to be able to do that? Because we have to be clean, holy people if you want to walk with God. And the only way to do that is keep getting washed. Keep getting washed every day. And guess what you'll be? Happy. Happy. Do you want to be happy? Just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm getting happy. Oh, even if you're not, you know, I can see there's some of you really don't want to do that. You don't have to do what I say, by the way. Just say, nope. I'll do what I want. Shut up. Okay, and then the second thing that you need for happiness is you must have vision for your present life. You must have vision. If you don't know where you're going, brother, sister, then you cannot be happy. You are drifting. You do not know where you're going. You have to know where you're going. The only way to know where you're going is to pray and ask God for his vision for your life. Until that, you'll never be happy. William Booth, you might have heard of him. William Booth, yeah? The founder of the Salvation Army. a history maker, an incredible man of fire and vision who changed the world. It all started one night because he was unhappy. He was preaching. He was a minister, Church of England minister. He was offered a few different parishes and he tried it. And you'd think, well, that's good. You know, he loves God and he's serving God, so he should be happy, right? No, not necessarily. To be happy, brothers and sisters, you have to do the very thing that God put you on this planet for. You have to discover and find what gifts God's given you and do it. Do it. And William Booth was not that happy. He went out unhappy. He went out for a prayer walk. That's what you do. It's exactly what you need to do. You need to switch your telly off. No, I'm not going out with my friends tonight. Oh, do you want another? No, thanks. I'm not happy. But you face it if you're not happy. You need God. Get out and pray. Pray. Look up at those stars. Get outside and say, God, what did you put me on this planet for? I'm in my 20s. What am I meant to do with them? I don't want to drift. I don't want to waste my teenage years. I don't want to waste my 30s. I don't want to waste my 40s. I don't want to waste any time. I want to know what your plan is for my life. That's what William Booth was doing that night in London. And he walked and walked and walked. And as he walked, he found himself just ended up in the West End of London. And he saw all the prostitutes standing outside, all these poor, freezing, sad young girls. And he saw the drunken men vomiting on the floor. And he stepped over bodies and went to all these slums and saw the hell of it all. The hell of it all. He was out nearly all night. His wife, Catherine, was getting worried. Catherine Booth. She's as famous as him. She was waiting for him, worried. What happened? It says in the diaries that late that night, the door flung open. And William Booth had fire in his eyes. He said, darling, I've found my destiny. And he resigned as being a nice little vicar. And he went to the West End of London and stood outside those pubs and started to preach the gospel. And he was stoned and battered and mocked and spat upon, and he kept going and kept going. And the gospel is the power of God. So life after life after life started to change till there were gangs and gangs of people with him, delivered from alcohol, free from that life, saved. And he built them into a mighty army. They became thousands upon thousands. Thousands. They went all over the world. They planted churches all over India, all over Africa. They lived by faith. They preached the gospel. They were full of fire. They printed a weekly newspaper that was read by millions, the war cry. William Booth, one night, found his destiny. Have you found yours yet? Well, you must. You must find it. Oh, I'm too old. You're never too old. Abraham was 75 years old when he began to find the reason he was on this planet. He changed the world. You're sat here tonight because of him. Because he dared believe God in his old age and do something. I want to encourage you to be happy. But you can't be happy if you drift. You can't be happy if you just live in survival mode. Well, I've got a job. Oh, well done. I've got a job and because of that, I'm going to be able to get a car. Yippee-yay-you. You lucky, lucky. No, I'm not mocking you. I'm mocking life without God. It cannot provide you with happiness. Do you understand? People sort of get a sense of what happiness is. So you think, what do you want out of life? Well, I want what everyone wants. I want to have love. Yeah. I want to meet someone who loves me. Good. Yeah. And have a family, yeah. And I want to be happy, of course you do. God bless you. Sorry, but it doomed that plan. Doomed. Why? Because though people are sort of on the right track, that they realize that, yeah, being loved is part of being happy. And loving, giving love is part of being happy. They're on the right track, but they miss out the single, totally important ingredient, Jesus. God. So they meet someone And are they happy? Yeah, they are, actually, for a while.
He loves me.
Well, enjoy that. As long as you can, honey. As long as you can.
He loves me. He loves me.
I'm sure he does. But he can't love you like Jesus. Now, you see, he's only a man. He's not God.
We're getting married. That's exciting. We're going to start a family.
Lovely.
My kids, they're all I need.
They are for now. Enjoy them. But they'll grow and they'll change. And they're little sinners, just like you, just like your husband. So you see, sin will wreck that life too. It's doomed. You cannot be happy without God. Even when you're a child. Even when you're a child. You know, I see children in Africa, in India, they've got absolutely nothing. And I see our kids here. They've got everything. Everything. They've got all the clothes, all the games, all the gear. But they still say what kids say all over the world, which is the famous children saying, it is this, I'm bored.
You've got everything,
but I'm bored. Let me translate I'm bored for you. I'm not happy. I've watched the DVD, Dad, but I'm still empty.
I've been to the match with my mates. The one.
Great. But I'm bored. Yeah, you're not happy. You're not happy. You cannot be happy without doing the will of God for your life. But brothers and sisters, listen to some good news. When you connect to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he gives you visions and dreams. He gives you vision for your life. Not your vision. Not one that's just made up, patched together.
I want to be footballer. Well, whatever.
But what does God want you to do with your life? When you start to discover that, then you wake up every day fueled with fire. And a mighty challenge presents itself. Sometimes a frightening challenge before you. It's from God. And you have to find, how am I going to climb this mountain of a vision that God's given me? He'll do it with you. But you might be hanging on for dear life, but I promise you, you won't be bored. You won't be bored. The early Christians were sawn in two. They were fed to the lions. They were hunted, hated, attacked, but they weren't bored. People who followed Jesus gave up everything, but they weren't bored. If you want life, Jesus said, if you hold on to your life, you try and find life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for me, for the gospel, you'll find it. You will be happy. It says in the Bible, where's the other blessing one? It says in Acts chapter 20, 35, Paul says, as our Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed, the word is happy, more blessed to give than it is to receive. You see, God's vision will mean that you're giving your life to him and to other people. You'll become a giver. You'll become a lover. You'll become a worker, a servant of God. And as you give, do you know what? There's joy in it. There's joy. As you feed the hungry, there's joy. As you clothe the naked, there's joy. As you visit prisoners, there's joy. As you heal the sick, there's joy. As you share light with those in total darkness, there's joy. Joy. As you serve the Lord, you will end up happy. Sound good? And the last one is this. To be happy, you must be sure of your future. Let me read to you a sentence from the last page of the Bible, speaking about heaven and those who get in. Who's looking forward to getting into heaven? Better than going to Disneyland. I don't know what it's going to be like walking through those gates, having a welcome into heaven, but it's going to be something awesome. And here's what it says, last few verses of the Bible. Happy are those who wash their robes so they may have the right to eat the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. That's heaven. Happy are those. Brothers and sisters, if you follow Jesus, you receive his vision for your life. You receive his forgiveness and salvation. You will not regret it when you die. You must become sure of where you're going. If you are not sure of your future, you cannot be happy. Unless you solve the death problem, or the greatest problem of humanity, death, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, unless you solve that, you will never be happy. Because death can rob you of your happiness like that. I finally met the man of my dreams. He's got cancer. He's dead. Death is no gentleman. The Bible calls death an enemy. It says, when Jesus has destroyed all the other enemies of God, finally he will destroy the last enemy, death, when he raises us all from the dead on the last day. It's an enemy, death. Death can rob you of joy, can cut right through your life. A car crash, an illness, a cot death. Death is a reality. You have to overcome it, brothers and sisters. You have to let Jesus give you the answer to death, and it's eternal life in heaven. He's not denying it. He's not pretending I'm gonna live forever. Well, I'm drinking green tea now. What? I'm drinking green tea. Well done. I'm going to the gym every day. I've lost 2 stone. I'm going to live forever. No, you're not. Actually, do you know what the Bible says? Sorry to burst your bubble. The Bible says that before you were born, every one of your days were already written in God's book. I'm not saying don't drink green tea. You may as well live out your days healthy. But, on the day you go to the Lord, the day that God decided that you die, I assure you, you'll die. When your allotted time on this planet is up, you will go to God. There's an old hymn that says, no walls of stone can man defend when thy messenger dost send. There are many ways to go, and you'll go that day. I promise you. Well, the Bible does. You have to be ready for it. Unless you're ready to die, you're not ready to live. Unless you've solved the death problem, you can't enjoy the life problem. You can't. You must know that when you die, you're going straight into the arms of Jesus. If you don't know that, it's terrible. My mum died when I was 16. We didn't know Jesus. We didn't know God. I remember seeing a body in our room, wherever it was, back room. And everyone went out, and I was only young, but I looked at the body and thought, that's my mum. That's my mum, that's my mum, that's my mum. And I reached over and touched her forehead, and you know that feeling, just marble, cold. Oh no, that's not my mum. My mum's gone. But where? Where's she gone? What a mystery death is. Where's she gone? It's very different from me now. As Margaret's mum died, as Margaret's dad died, as our friends sometimes die and go to be with the Lord. Very, very different, because we know where they're going because they've received Jesus, and it's totally, totally different. We are confident that they're going into the presence of Jesus. We'll see them again. In fact, you have to know that for yourself. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know that for yourself, you're probably not saved. You must know that your sins are forgiven, that you're accepted by Jesus, and have God's vision for your life to be happy. You can live confidently if you know that you're ready to go to God anytime. If you have that feeling of I'm not ready, then you need to become ready. I'm not saying, you know, I understand, you know, if you think I'm getting married next month, can you just wait? I understand that, you know. Can I finish the decorating first? I've just got to do one more roll, Lord. There's plenty to do in this life, I understand that. But beyond that, in all seriousness, you must be ready. You must know that you're ready to go into heaven. You'll be accepted, not because of your goodness, but because of the goodness of Jesus Christ given to you as a gift. Jesus gives you his righteousness. We sang that tonight. To be stood clothed in his righteousness alone is what it means to be a saved, secure Christian. So, no one looks happy now, but anyway... But anyway, I hope that's helped.